Hey everyone, Casey Stubbs here. And today I'm going to be teaching you about market analysis and market movements and using accurate analysis and accurate entries. And there's just a lot of different things that we can do to help us get a better picture with our trading. Okay, so the first thing is I'm going to just start with a couple definitions because I don't know where everybody's at in regards to the level of traders that we deal with. So whether you're a beginning trader, you're going to learn a lot. If you're an advanced trader, there's going to be some great things that you can take away from this as well. So there's always things that we can get with. And David, if you're still here, I'm trying to find the chat. Oh, never mind. I found it already.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Sometimes the Zoom bar disappeared. Okay, good. And I won't bother you again unless there's a major problem. All right. Okay, so can everybody see my screen and hear me okay? Let me know in the chat. All right, Ianista says yes. Thank you, Ianista. Appreciate that. Good. Okay, well, one thing is I want to be able to take advantage of the opportunity for everyone to ask questions. So I'm going to be watching the chat and I'm going to try to answer any questions that you may have. I feel like it makes it really good for your interactions to help you get more out of it if you can get your questions answered. So that's always important to me. And so don't be shy. I'm going to ask you questions. I appreciate it if you could answer. And then just for the sake of the training. And then also if you would want to ask questions, I will do that for you as well. All right. So the first thing is, what does everyone trade here? What does everyone like to trade? I do some Forex training, but I trade everything. And this is applicable to any kinds of markets. I'm not doing anything specific, but what specific? Okay, lots of stock traders in here. That's good. Any options or futures? Or is there any crypto traders or Forex traders in here? Rao trades. Rao trades Forex. KP is options. Zier trades options and futures. Jim is options. Crypto, I love crypto. Even though we've had a really bad time in crypto recently, still great opportunities there. Awesome. All right, well, let's get started. So first of all, what is technical analysis? So the definition of technical analysis is a trading discipline employed to evaluate investments and identify trading opportunities in price trends and patterns seen on charts. Technical analysts believe past trading activity and price changes of a security can be valuable indicators of the security's future price movements. Okay, so basically it is, in my definition, that was the official definition. My definition is using areas on the chart that other people are looking at to make trading decisions, right? So example, support and resistance levels. That's an important part of technical analysis. Chart patterns, an important part of technical analysis. Trending markets, that's an important part of technical analysis. Indicators can be a very important part of technical analysis. All of these things working together will help you identify key trading opportunities, right? And so the next part we want to know is what moves markets, right? So markets, how are markets moved? Anyone have an idea? What is the primary driver behind what moves markets? And this is a great question. Big money options. Yeah, that's a good one, Carolyn. Thank you for answering. Anyone else have anything? Volume. Yeah, volume. Absolutely. Sentiment. Yes, sentiment is important. Fair price is important. Yes. Yeah, that's good. Fair. Good stuff. We got some smart people in here. So what I like to use is I say that the markets are moved by supply and demand, right? Now you might be saying, yes, the big boys move the markets, but the big boys are in a market just like the retail traders, and big boys are competing against other big boys and girls, and we're competing against them as well. But the definition of it is supply and demand, the amount of a product or service available and the desire of buyers for it, considered as factors regulating its price, right? So commodities, they're you know, real stuff. Markets are really markets, right? We don't see what's happening behind the scenes. We have no idea because it's all scribbly lines, right? But if you've ever been to a real market, you know, an auction, has anybody here been to a real auction? You know, that's what's moving the markets behind the scenes. And so technical analysis is really important. And I started by defining that, but I also wanted to let everyone understand that there's things that are happening behind the scenes that you can't see. So there's the technical analysis, which is what we can see, but then there's the things that's happening that we cannot see, right? So there's things like supply and demand, right? How many traders want something at a certain price? What's the fair value? What's the price? What's the current sentiment? You know, it's very interesting when we talk about retail traders versus, you know, institutional traders. A lot of times we can look at the, you know, especially in currency trading has a great advantage, and futures reports will tell us how many retail traders are holding a position. And so some great examples are the retail traders are holding something short, but the institutional traders are holding something long. Which side of the market do you want to be on? Do you want to be with the institutional traders or with the retail traders? That's a pretty simple question, but what do you think? Do you want to be with the retail traders or the institutional traders? And does anyone need to know what the definition of the two are? Do you guys know what the definition of institutional and retail? So Rao says institutional. Yes, good. Institutional, good. Yes, you're absolutely correct. And so I didn't really think of this. I'm trying to be very transparent here, but or simple. Retail traders are basically traders that open their accounts with a brokerage. Versus, and that, you know, maybe that's not their full-time position versus, or even maybe it is full-time, but they're still doing it for themselves versus someone that's trading other people's money, a hedge fund, a bank. You know, those are the differences between the, you know, those are institutional traders, the people that have a lot of research, a lot of tools, a lot of training versus retail traders that are learning from going to webinars like this, right? And that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing that you're coming here, but you got to know what's happening behind the scenes and understanding what's happening with the institutional traders, right? We need to know these things, okay? And so behind the scenes, there's a great supply and demand going on. And the cool thing about technical analysis is that you can see it on the charts, but it's demonstrating what's happening behind this, right? So I'm just going to use a kind of a fun little example of a commodity. And I don't know if this would be a commodity, but you know, during the pandemic, we had a toilet paper shortage in the United States. And we saw supply and demand prices increase by 16% in that period. And there were long lines and there were shortages, right? So a lot of that had to do with supply chain issues, right? When the supply chain drops out, demand comes up. But another really key thing about demand, supply and demand, is that just because you have a supply of something doesn't mean that it automatically goes up in value. It has to have a demand and there has to be a use for it, right? So a lot of times in markets, you'll see things that have maybe a limited demand, but there's no value in it and people will buy it and it goes down, but that's because there's no demand, right? You're like, oh, well, there's only five of these left. Well, no one wants it. It's worth zero because no one's willing to pay for it. The only thing that has value is what someone is willing to pay for something, right? And so I always think about the first time I went to an auction, I was trying to buy a car. Actually, I didn't go to buy a car. I was there. It's kind of funny. I was there just because there was an auction. I'm like, I want to go to an auction. I want to see what's going on. And then all of a sudden this car was there and it was cheap. But the problem was I got into a bidding war with someone and I thought it was a cheap deal, but I ended up getting emotional, right? Then that's what else moves markets. We talk about what moves markets, supply and demand, but also emotions. Emotions work, move markets, right? Because I was in the middle of this bidding war and I was afraid of missing out. So there were two things that happened. One was fear. That's FOMO, fear of missing out. I was afraid that I was going to miss a great deal. Okay. But then it changed from fear to competitive to greed, right? It's like, okay, well, it wasn't even greed, but for me, it was like, I've got to win this car. And so then it became a competitive thing. I'm going to pay more than this dude because I'm not going to let him beat me. Right. So what started out was fear of missing out on a good price ended up being, okay, I'm going to beat this guy in a bidding war because I'm cool. Right. And that was, again, that wasn't a good decision. Just like the fear of missing out wasn't a good decision, but it drove the price up. Right. It drove the price up. And so sometimes we see that in the markets too. There's competitions going on, right? Prices are being driven because they're battling back and forth. And we don't know that it's happening because we can't see it because it's all done on computers, but it's happening. It's computers, it's algorithms, it's institutions, it's retail, it's everybody working together to make this happen, right? And so why does technical analysis work? Well, because it's happening behind the scenes, but we can actually see where supply and demand is located on the charts, okay? And so here is the euro, a great example of that. You can see this on the chart. I have identified some levels here, and let's see, let me pull my pen up. So you can see right here, that's a level, okay? And would I get the pointer or the pen? What's better? Here's a level. Right there. Okay. And then it went and it retested that level. Okay. And then right here, this is called resistance up here. That's all called resistance. And then down here, you see it hit here, here, and here, and here. That's called support. Okay. And so what we don't understand, or what you need to understand, is that there are where you see levels on a chart, other traders see that. And so what happens? What happens when that happens is that we put our levels in here, right? So we don't put our levels, we put our trades. So there's lots, I'm like, okay, I'm watching this, price is down here. I want to buy this, but do I want to buy it here? Or would it be better to buy it here? So I'm going to put my order here. So I'm building out buy orders and there's a big stack of them. Okay. And so again, it's just the way that supply and demand works, right? Supply and demand is driven towards other levels of supply and demand. And so, because once this happens, which is up here, right, there's a big battle going on, buyers and sellers. And when the sellers wins, the price will automatically gravitate to where there's more demand, right? So we want to think of price as like a vacuum. That's my vacuum imitation, right? It's a vacuum. And wherever the orders are, that's the vacuum. That's the vacuum, okay? And so when price breaks a level, it's going to be sucked in to where all the orders are. And that's just how it works. It's literally exactly like a vacuum cleaner, right? The orders are the vacuum. It just sucks it right to it. Now, the problem is we know. And this isn't the problem. This is the opportunity. We know where those levels are. They're at the next support or resistance level. So when we see price around here, boom, 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 we know that it's coming up. And if it moves up, there's going to be a level up here and the orders are going to be up here. So we know that when it breaks, it's going to be automatically attracted to that. Okay. Now, on the other side, if the battle to the downside works, it's going to be attracted to that. So what I will say is we don't usually know which side will win. Well, we do. We have a very good idea of which side will win. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But if we didn't know which side will win, it still doesn't matter. Because why? Because once it just makes its decision, we can take the trade. So in this case, let me clear this out. In this particular case here, where you can play this as a bounce. And when we see the price action, when we see that pattern develop, then we know which side wins because we got the consolidation, the breakdown. And then when we get this big candle right here, taking out all these, because each candle in itself is a level, right? So each one of these candles has a level, the candle high. Every time it makes a new high, that becomes a level, right? And so then when finally we have a reversal and it breaks that level real strong, that's a perfect entry. Or you could put your entries down here too. Two different ways to trade that based off of your risk tolerance. Now, something else that is really important about this, okay? You see that we know that there's a lot of people putting buy orders here, but we also know that down below here, there's sell orders and there's buy orders above and sell below. But the one thing we need to know about the buy orders is there's two kinds of buy orders. There's buyers that are looking to buy on the bounce here, but then there's buyers from people that sold up here. Okay. They sold up here. And now what happens? So let's just, I'm going to throw this one out to the chat. What happens, everybody, if they sell up here? What kind of order are they going to put down here? If they were sellers up here, what kind of order are they going to put down here? If they put a buy order down here, what, or I kind of gave the answer away. What kind of order are they going to put? A sell stop. Norbert said a sell stop. And a sell stop is a really, it's a buy order because they sold down here. See, Norbert's actually smarter than me because I was just going to say another buy. But a sell stop is a buy. A sell stop is a buy because they're taking profit, right? So we've got a big group. We've got a big group of traders that are taking profit. But then we have another big group of traders that are buying. And so who's buying off of who? So again, you know, this stuff is like, you might say, well, I don't really need to know this, but you kind of do just because it's great to understand what's happening. Like, I want to know why technical analysis works. I don't need to just know that it works. I want to know why it works, right? So when we have, when I put my buy order here, I know that I'm buying it off of this dude who sold it up here. I'm buying his shares, okay? Because he's already got his dollars and he's happy, okay? And so that's something we need to know about levels, right? Another thing, my timer, I don't know how to turn that timer off. Another thing is the sell orders. There's two kinds of sell orders here. There's people that have the entry orders. See, they broke this. So that broke that key level. And so they have stop entries. So they're like, they're breakout traders. Breakout traders are shorting right here. Okay. Breakout traders. But then you'll notice something. Those breakout traders, what do they do when they buy? Maybe they bought here and they thought this was the level, but their timing was off. And so what do they place down here? They place stops, right? So we got a lot of buyers who are buying, and they have stops. And then we have other traders who are adding sell orders, sell. So, and they're shorting right here, and these people bought here, but they're getting stopped out. Okay. So again, it's route hit it. He said liquidity, right? So there's a lot of buying and selling, boom, boom, boom. And that's why we get consolidation at levels. That's why consolidation happens. Because why? Because all the buyers are getting out from up higher. All the shorts are getting out, the stop losses. And so then we get consolidation. And so there's going to be an auction and there's a lot of orders and it's liquidity. But then what happens a lot, and usually when I'm doing a presentation, I just scribble. That's all I do. I'm just a scribbler. And so I don't know if it even means anything, but I'm definitely not an artist. But you get all this buying and selling going on. And then it'll exhaust itself. And so sometimes it will get really tired and you get a consolidation for a while and it'll range. And then we start getting more buyers. So if it's an uptrend, you'll get some more buyers. And then eventually somebody's going to win, right? It's an accumulation zone. Accumulation means that it's growing, and distribution means that it's at the top and it's selling. Exactly. Rouse on point with this. Okay. So this is all really great stuff to understand. And the key is knowing again now how to trade it, because I like knowing what's happening. Like if there's somebody trapped in here, we got to look through there. We know that emotions move markets. I want to know that someone's trapped down here. Uh-oh. How are they feeling? For everybody that's shorted here, how do you think they're feeling? You know, and then where are they putting their stops? They're putting their stops here. So when you see this big move, that's all these fake breakouts. This is the trapped traders. They're all trapped, right? And they're like, oh man, breakouts suck. I hate breakouts, because they all got crushed on this candle. And then the funny part is it came right back down. So even these breakout traders might have made a little bit, but not a lot, because it came right back down and there's another chance to get in. And hopefully they didn't short again, right? They might be like, oh, I got stopped out here, so now I'm going to short again when it comes down here. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, and so that's, we want to learn from that. We want to learn from how people feel. And also we want to learn about how we respond, right? One of the greatest things that we can do as traders is evaluate our own emotions. And I keep journals of how I feel every day and how, what I did and what lessons I learned, because now I can apply that going forward, right? I can say, okay, I messed up right here. So we know that whenever we see these levels on a chart, that those are great levels to be trading around. And if we watch them, we wait for patterns and we trade off of them, it's very effective. Now, as far as to know in advance who's going to win, we don't always know, but we can get an idea based off of the current trend, the current sentiment, the current market environment, right? So if we look at market environment, if it's important in trading, it's a risk off or a risk on environment, right? And so risk on means that everybody is excited about the markets and they're buying and they're investing. And, you know, usually that means when money is cheap, when interest levels are really low, that's risk on, right? Because, okay, the market's going crazy, I'm going to buy. So in a risk on environment, that's the current trend. And so you can kind of count on that on the key levels. So for a risk off environment, then it's like, okay, that's the current trend, that's the market sentiment. Those levels will usually go the other direction. So in the euro dollar here, an example, we know that right now the euro, so this is just a flat range, but we know that the euro is currently a very strong downtrend. And that's changed over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to see if the sentiment changes. But right now it's still pretty strong, even though the last couple of weeks it's been moving up. But it's definitely a risk off environment, because people don't want to place risk, right? Because why? Because the stock market is going down. Okay. And why else don't they not want to risk? Well, it's because the stock market is going down. Okay. Stocks, interest rates, what else? Well, there's a threat that we could possibly be getting to a recession soon. So that's another reason people don't want to risk money when they're worried about a recession, right? So the sentiment is risk off. And so when you have risk off sentiment, you want to be finding on the euro dollar, you want to be waiting for this and you want to be selling. Now, you can obviously do counter trend and it still can work. Not saying that, but I'm just saying, if you want to know if the supporter level is going to win an advantage, if you know this, that's going to be a huge, huge, huge edge, right? That's a huge edge to you. Okay. It's really powerful. So remember too, like, I know a lot of people here are very, very knowledgeable, and I appreciate you guys. Like, Rao's really helping me a lot. He's giving me good content. But if anyone is also wondering about any questions, please don't hesitate to ask questions, because I would love to answer those questions too. Okay, now we can see some of the orders depending on some broker tools that are out there, and you know, you can see them on TradingView. You can see a volume on TradingView. You can see them on other charting patterns, your broker. There's different places to get the information. The levels will show you what you need to know, but you can see it in other areas too. Like, here's a chart that I got actually from Awanda. That's a Forex broker, and they show orders, right? And you can see this is where current price is, but then this is where the orders are. So you can see right here at 99. 99 is a very important level. You can see all the orders right here. And so you can see that. You can see number one. One is a very important level. There's more orders on number one. Okay. And then 150, you can see right below 150 is a lot of orders. Okay. So we can see that using this tool. And so again, we know that supply and demand moves these orders. And when orders get filled and that level breaks, we know it's right here. If this is going to go here sideways and it breaks up, we know it's probably going to one, right? We know there's probably a 50 pip move up here because this is where the bulk of the orders are. If it goes down, you know, we're right in the middle here. If it goes down, we know we're probably going to 99. Right. And so, yeah, this is, this one is available on Owanda, but there's so many different places to get it. FX Street has it. There's a place that I use that gets a lot of this stuff, which is FX Blue. Another thing, and it, you know, a lot of these markets are all tied together. And so we can, and I'm showing you this, but I'm showing you this, but at the same time, I'm telling you that this isn't necessary. Like this doesn't, I'm showing you this to demonstrate, but I don't use it. Why? I don't use it for one key reason. I don't need it because this has all I need to know. I know that there's levels right here. I don't need to go and see this. It's not necessary. Okay. So sometimes just understanding what's happening behind the scenes is enough. And I don't need another thing to look at or another thing to clog my view or to clog my chart. I just need to know that it's happening. And once I know that and I'm really comfortable in understanding, then I don't need to look at it on chart. I never look at this stuff ever, but I know that it's happening. And so I'm sharing that to you. And so a lot of times I'll show it like, where do I get that indicator? Where do I get that tool? You know, it to me, you can go ahead and grab it if you want, but that's not the point. The point is understanding what's happening behind the scenes because you just don't need it. All you need is a level and price. You need support and resistance, trends and price, and understanding what the market environment is. Understanding the market environment, I think, is so important. It's so important, and I think most people don't even get that, right? So again, you know, this is just some things about price action here. And please, if you have any questions, I know you guys did do some good ones, but I just want to show you some candlestick stuff. So this is basically the same thing I just showed you on a micro and zoomed up level. Okay. It's zoomed way up, right? So when we zoom way out, we get the big picture. So just zoomed in onto two candles. And it's kind of like taking a microscope. If you've ever looked at a microscope and just taking that microscope and zooming way in, right? And you can see things. Has anyone ever looked in a microscope? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I love looking in a microscope. Like it's a whole nother world. It's a whole nother world. So here's how I recommend that you you approach your trading. Always start way out. Like this, way out. Always start way out, okay? So start, and I literally do this every single day. Look at a monthly chart, right? Look at a monthly chart, zoom way out, then go to a weekly and just, I start marking levels. Okay, what's happening? What's the trend on the monthly? Where's this going to turn around if it goes? You know, just get in, understand what you're trading. Where's this thing going to go? Oh, wow, it's going here. Okay, mark your levels on a monthly, then do it on a weekly, and then do it on a daily, right? Do it on three times. And you can trade the daily, or you can zoom out and trade on a 4 hour, 1 hour, 15 minute, whatever. But understand the big picture, because if you're trading, I'm pointing at my screen. If you're trading like a candlestick pattern and it's a tiny little chart and you're zoomed way in, you're going to miss everything. Like I love zooming in. So you zoom way out, then slowly zoom in and then zoom out again, right? Just give yourself context of the market perspective, and then you can zoom in to trade. But another thing about like a candlestick is these levels, this is zoomed in, but it's the exact same thing. So they call the market as being fractal, right? The market is fractal. Okay. And what that means is that all of these things that you see on a big picture happen on a lower time frame, right? So if this is happening on a 1 minute chart and these are zoomed in on a little candle, these are all mini support and resistance levels. That's all it is. So you can see that this was a resistance area, price faked to the upside, and then what happened? It took off. Okay, so we know that this is resistance. So every single candle is just like, and you know, forgive my spelling, I said resin. Resin means resistance. I told you I like to scribble. Resistance. This is resistance, okay? And then this is support, right? On a micro level, that's all this is. And so in this case, when we see this candle break to the upside, what's happening? The exact same thing. We're getting liquidity. We're getting levels. We're getting market flow, right? Order flow, supply and demand. All of, there's a lot of now people are buying here. Buy, buy, buy. Okay. They just went long. We got the breakout. These are the breakout traders. They're going the next direction. And then all of a sudden we get a hard reverse. Okay. And so now what happens? We know that the buyers, those buyers had stops in here and now they're getting stopped out. Okay. They're trapped. And now we know that if the trend is moving down, wow, where's this going? Well, it's going down, right? And where's it going to? Well, here's the next level. It's probably coming down here because this is support. This is where the levels are. Why? Because when this candle happened at the start of this candle, this is where the orders are, right? So we know that that whole thing that I showed you on that higher time frame chart is happening even on these smaller candles. And so you can take trades even on single candles, knowing in the big picture what's happening. And when you can combine a couple things together, you know, you combine your risk off and risk on, your higher time frames and your support and your resistance, and you build yourself a really good trading plan by doing this every day and by understanding what's happening. Now, I'm not even going to talk about risk management because that's a whole lesson in itself, but you have to understand risk management because that's, this stuff is important and is going to help you find good trades, but that means nothing if you can't manage risk. Okay. Finding good trades means zilch, zero, nothing, nada. Trading is risky. Don't invest any more money than you can afford to lose, but it doesn't mean anything if you can't manage risk. So I'm not even going to tell you how to do that because I don't have time. Maybe in another webinar, if David invites me back, we can have a risk management day. But people usually don't show up to those because they're not as interested in finding how to manage their risk as they are in finding the trades. You know, this is the thing that's going to help them, everyone believes. But, you know, sometimes we get into trading with false belief. This stuff is super important, but it's not the most important thing. Actually, in trading, self-mastery is the most important thing. Risk management is really important. And entries and trading is really important. But I look at trading in itself as like a big, as like a you know, the human body, right? So I like to use illustrations. So in the human body, we have lots inside of this thing. We got a brain, we got a heart, we got a system, a spinal system, a brain system, a nervous system, a vascular system, a bone system. We've got all of these things working together. We have an emotional side of things, a mental side. We have sleep and food and nutrition and hydration and mental, and we have spiritual stuff. We're human beings are spiritual people, right? So we have all of these different things working. And in, for us to be successful in life, we have to have all of them working together. And if one of the systems gets out of whack, then it messes up the whole person. And trading is the same way. We got to work all those systems together. We have to learn all of the foundations in trading together to be successful. All right. So yeah, so that's kind of how the candles work. Let's keep going. So we got price action here. This was the exact same image here that I just zoomed out a little bit more. So again, I just zoomed out to kind of give you a different picture. So this was the previous candle. I zoomed out here. And now I'm zooming back. So you can see we had a big move, a break higher, but then a hardcore rejection. Okay. So when we get that, and then we know that there's a level here now. And so when that level got taken, we hit stops because more stops, more selling, and then it pushes it down. And where'd it go? It went right here. Okay. So now We also need to look again. Now let's keep going here. And Rao just made a comment I'm going to post respond on. He talks about news, right? News is a big part of this thing, right? So I talked about the system, all of the system, you know, where are we at as a human being or as a trader? We got to know everything. News is a big part of that because that builds a picture. News will tell you where is the market going. A lot of the news that I've, you know, CPI is really important right now because of inflation. And so last week, we actually got, we made a slight adjustment with our sentiment because of the inflation numbers, right? And that was really important. So we had better than expected inflation, and it caused the S&P 500 to change course. Okay, it caused the euro dollar to change course. And it's still a downtrend, and the sentiment is still bearish. And we're still what I would call a risk off environment, but it was some clues, right? And those clues, you know, the clues are like, okay, wait, inflation is lower. Maybe we're going to start taking it easy on rates. Maybe the rates aren't going to go, right? And so that's a clue. And so now we're like, okay, where's that clue go with my support levels? Okay, now we're going up. Where's my now resistance? Where's my resistance? The S&P's going up. Where's the next level, right? And so you can use, again, those news announcements help with this, right? They help with the supply and demand. I like trading technical analysis without any news. And I feel like you can do that. You don't need news, because it's kind of like what's happening behind the scenes with the supply and demand levels. You don't need to know that they're there because you can see them on the charts. When you see the levels breaking, you know that it's breaking, and you know that that was a very important level. However, news is important because it's nice for me to know that. It's just another thing in the system that helps you understand what's happening. Right? Like all of the, like we, the more that we learn about this, the better, right? The more that we learn, the better. And, you know, you're here now and you're trying to learn more. You're signing up for the Trade Timing Research Conference, and you might be where everybody in here is at a different level. And yet you're trying to learn more and more and more. And the more you learn is going to be better. Now, I would also say, There's a challenge to this, okay? There's a challenge to it. The more you learn, the better you will be, and I agree with that. However, there's a challenge of jumping from system to system, because I don't even know who the person in front of me was, but he's doing one thing, and then I'm doing something else. And if you watch all of the people here, you're going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to do his system, and his system. Well, it can get a little overwhelming and confusion, right? So if that's why I'm not teaching really a system, but I'm teaching how the market works, because then you can develop your own system based on an understanding of how the market works. Because ultimately, everybody needs to understand their own system. They need to have an understanding of what, you know, you can't build your own system if you're just following someone else. Right? That's why I'm not a big fan of people like saying, give me signals, teach me how to do this. I just want signals, 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 because it's not going to work for you if you're just following, because you have to have a level of understanding. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult. It just takes work to learn, right? You just have to put in the work and, you know, find somebody to talk to about this stuff. All right. So anyways, that's my thing. So don't jump from system to system. Don't chase indicators or shiny objects. I host a podcast. It's called How to Trade It. And I was interviewing a guy named Dapo. And Dapo is a really good trader. And he was like, I had 700 indicators on my computer. And I was just laughing when he said that, because, oh my goodness, I've seen it. I've seen it myself. I'm like, I just need the next good indicator. You know what? That's not going to help. It really isn't. It's understanding how trading works. All right. So we got price action here. Again, so this was that right here was that same thing, right? So I zoomed up, and now look, you see, it gives me a better picture. It gives me a better picture. Oh, thanks. David posted my podcast link. Thank you, David. Right here, you can see we had that key level, the fake break, and then big picture, you can see that move down, right? And so really good trading analysis. Another thing that is really important, I believe, that you can look at too for price action is trend lines. You'll notice that right here, as I draw on this, I'm drawing a trend line on the bottom of the candles, okay? And actually, let me erase this real quick. You draw this on the bottom and you'll notice, right? Here's what I want you to notice is that price broke lower and then it retested. And this is probably my favorite trade. So if we talk about golden trades, actually, one of my friends talked about golden today. That's where I said that. I've never said that. It was my friend Patrick. He was talking about this. Golden. I don't use that word. I just got it from Patrick, my friend Patrick Reed, who's a great trader. But this is one of my favorites because it comes back up and it retests, right? And then you get the break. This setup is so good. I love this setup. I absolutely love this setup. This setup works so good, but it takes patience. That's another thing that's really important that I want to make sure that I hit real hard is that patience is so important because you could trade it right up here, yes, but it could fake you out. And there's nothing wrong with trading it there. You develop your own system and you test it, test it, test it, test it. Do 20 trades. I got a trading thing here. Look, look at my camera. This is illegible to you, but this is my trades. And it doesn't mean a lot, but I can see what my last 20 trades did. So I know I was trading one system. I traded it 20 times and I know if it works, right? So very important to test your signal. So if you just want a short, I know people that do this. They short right into the resistance and they don't wait for a candlestick pattern. Great. Good for them. But does it work? Well, they say it does. I haven't tested it. Go test it. Do it 20 times. And then if it works, then do it 20 more. Then if that works, then figure out how you can make it better. The way to get better at trading is to do one thing over and over and over again and test it, test it, test it, and then do the same thing and adjust. And when you make an adjustment, only make one adjustment. So here's how we do this, right? And what you find something that works for you because you'll build up faith in it. Okay. So right here, if you just want a short and you test that 20 times, that's setup number one, test it. And then if you want, you can go in and then test 20, see how it does, and then test 20 trend line breaks and retest and test that. Test that 20 times. Which one works better for you, right? And then you'll say, oh, well, this one worked pretty good, but then this one, I got a 3-to-1, okay? Risk to reward ratio and the same winning percentage. So then I'm like, okay, well, if this one was a 1-to-1 risk to reward and this one was a 3-to-1, but the winning percentage was the same, which setup is better, right? And then, you know, just to make sure, go back and test the original one again. Maybe with one twist, but here's something that I want you to write down. Okay. I want you to write this down because this is a game changer. Doing what I'm talking about right now and testing 20 trades and writing it down and then testing another 20, doing that is something that most traders are not going to do. So if you do something that other traders are not willing to do, that gives you a huge edge. It gives you knowledge and understanding and skills and talent and patience. It gives you something that other traders will never get because most people are not going to do this. The reason why there's a $1 billion industry for selling signals and indicators is because most traders are lazy. Okay. And remember, trading is risky, but the truth is not just, and I'm not bashing people, but they are trying to solve a financial problem without doing the work. They're looking at coming into trading and they're thinking that this is the giant lottery and that, or that it's the casino and they're going to pull a few buttons, they're going to push buttons and they're going to make money and they're not going to have to do a lot of work to solve the problem. So I get it. Going into the market, going into trading to solve a financial problem is a good thing. But to solve a financial problem, you have to solve a problem. You have to do the work. Usually you're in a financial problem for a reason. is probably because you haven't done the work to solve the financial problem in the first place, right? And so you have to analyze your motives into trading. And your understanding is, if you understand that this is a problem that I need to solve and I can do it, and if I'm willing to work harder than the other people, then that gives me a huge edge. So if you go into this and say, I'm willing to do what other people are not willing to do, then you have a huge edge. And if you understand that this is not going to be a get rich quick or get rich easy, you can get rich quick, but not easy, right? It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to outwork people. I saw a speech, you know, I'm always educating. I'm self-educating nonstop. I saw a speech by Dwayne Johnson, and he said that you might be better than me, but no one is going to outwork me, right? So if you go into that, into trading with that kind of a mindset, I'm going to do more tests than you. I'm going to do more back testing. I'm going to do more forward testing. I'm going to watch more training and invest in myself to get better and better. Then you have a huge edge, because you're not here just to get rich quick or to solve an easy problem. You know, you might have financial pain, and I can relate to that, and I feel for it, right? I get it. But you still got to solve that problem, right? And so trading is just like anything else. It's a problem to be solved. And I think it's great that I'm really glad that most people aren't willing to do it. I want everyone to be successful. That's just my frame of mind. And I want to root for people to be successful. But I know that people generally are not willing to do the work, right? So I just drew a line there. You can see there's the line. And, you know, there it is on another time frame. You can just kind of see how support and resistance level. Another thing, I'm running out of time. I got carried away here, but another thing that is really a good one to look at is diagonal levels. Okay. I love these levels because a lot of breakout traders don't see these. Okay. So if you're trading a breakout right here and you're not looking at the diagonal level, you're going to get faked out. Okay. If you're trading this breakout here, you're not looking at the diagonal level, you're going to get faked out. If you're trading this breakout and you're not looking at the diagonal, or this breakout, you're going to get faked out. So I always look at these levels. And usually what this is just a giant consolidation pattern. It's a giant consolidation pattern, and it gets higher and higher until it usually continues in the direction of the trend, right? So this is, we talked about trap traders. Being aware of where this level is tremendously valuable in helping you not get trapped, right? So again, this is the kind of thing that you want to note in your journal. You want to say, hey, why did I get messed up on a breakout? Why did I lose a breakout trade? Well, did you have the diagonal level? So what I like is a diagonal breakout up here and then there, and then go watch that diagonal level. Look for the trade here instead of here. Right? Just doing that one thing will save you so much pain on a breakout. It's literally unbelievable, right? Literally. Okay. So I'm down to 1 minute. So I'm going to skip this. Channels are another thing that you can trade that's really great for technical analysis. The candlestick patterns on the levels, and just a little bit of self promo. Here's my podcast and the link there. Let me see if I can actually grab that link and post in the chat, because that'll let you subscribe. Grab that link. That link will let you subscribe. David is good, man. David's good. And then I also have a link here if you want to get my price action ebook, right? So yeah, subscribe to the podcast, get the ebook. I get some of the greatest traders around, right? Other people that have been in this timing research, but a lot of other people, like my quest on my podcast is to talk to the most successful traders. And so I'm continually upping my game for my own personal trading, but also for the people that I talk to. So I'm talking to some great people, and I have a pattern that I built up. You can check it out you can get that download. All right. Well, thanks, David. I think that's it for me. I'm out of time, but I appreciate the audience. Everyone was really good. And hopefully, did you guys enjoy that? Was there any value to that at all? Let me know in the chat. Good. I got one yes. So that Rao liked it and he's a pro. Oh, good. Thank you guys. That makes me feel good. Good. I appreciate it.